Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our gospel reading today. In the gospel reading, Jesus delivers his farewell discourses to the disciples. He assures them that though he may leave them in bodily form, they will never be left on their own. And now the reading from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will also live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them.
Yes, thank you, choir, for that beautiful, beautiful anthem. Beautiful. Let us pray. Now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We live in a time where no doubt we are looking for unity and togetherness and to find answers about things and we see around us for the truth to be told and for someone to be an advocate for us. We are seeking justice and we are seeking peace. Today we're going to look more closely what it means to be an advocate. Being an advocate comes with a deeper meaning from Jesus as he speaks to his disciples. I know when my children were young, I was advocating for them many times, especially when they were treated unjustly. When my daughter was the victim of a violent crime in the summer of 2000, I stood up for her when she was treated unjustly by authorities in the healthcare system. Today, she is an author of love stories and advocates for those who are suffering from the effects of extreme stress and trauma. When one of my sons was criticized in fifth grade for not being able to read and write as quickly as the others, I advocated for him to, in the school system, who had refused to test him further for dyslexia, despite me asking them over and over and over. When they finally gave in and did test him, that's exactly what they found. My mama bear instincts knew. Today, he has an MBA, he has a great job, and is an advocate for those who have dyslexia and seizure disorder. Over and over throughout their growing years, I have been there for my kids and let them know that they have someone in their corner, someone to advocate for them. I think that's what mothers do. I think that's what fathers do. That's what those who care do. Even though now I don't always agree with all their choices, I love them. They know it and will be there for them. They count on that. We all need a champion. We all need someone to advocate in our lives, don't we? Someone we can count on more than ever. As Americans today, we need a champion for us. Someone to trust and help us to find peace and help us to find justice and healing. Someone who will stand up for our rights and protect us so that we are safe. But I want to turn now to the gospel reading of what that means. What Jesus said about being an advocate, someone who is called by our side, someone who helps. One day, a few years ago, a woman came to me and asked me to pray for her. And when I asked her what she wanted me to pray for, she said, "I feel like God doesn't notice me. Like, I don't even feel like that God cares about me or what's going on in my life." Sometimes we all struggle and feel that way. I know I do. When we get to struggling with something going on in our lives, we wonder, "Where are you? Don't you see what's going on in my life? God, do you even care about me?" Sometimes we are sitting in a room like this, and we may be in a large crowd around us, and we feel so lonely, and we wonder, "God, how are you going to find me in the midst of all these people?" But can I tell you today that God is with you? God does see you. The Bible says that He knew you before the foundations of the world. He handpicked you to be here today, right now. And He knows even every single hair on your head, whether you have a lot of hair or no hair. Blonde hair, black hair, whatever color hair. He knew what hairs were going to be there. And when you were born, and He knew what hairs might be leaving your head as you grew older. God knows who He created you to be exactly. That's mind-blowing to me. But God is God. And if God said it, I believe it, no matter what my feelings are about that. Even if I feel so alone in a crowded room, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe in God and what God said. He knew me. He knows my path. He knows when I lay down. He knows when I stand up. God knows my thoughts. And I don't even have to say anything. God knows me already. And God knows and cares for you and me today. But if we are going to overcome those crushing feelings of being alone with no one advocating by our side, we are going to have to stir up some faith. You're going to have to remind yourself every single day, God does know me. God created me and cares for me. God is walking alongside of me, and with God, anything is possible. Anything, no matter what you and I are facing, is possible if you take hold of faith, if you take hold of God. There's a story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 to 17, that we didn't read today, but I'm going to share this story because I think this story speaks to what I'm talking about. Jesus was teaching on the Sabbath day, and there were a lot of people in the synagogue. And he, as he began teaching them, suddenly he stopped and he noticed a woman coming in that was in the crowd. Now, this woman wasn't particularly beautiful. She didn't walk in late, really. She walked in with everyone else. So that's why he didn't notice her. What he noticed, the scripture tells us, is that she was crippled. She was so crippled that she was bent over like a horseshoe. On the Sabbath is when Jesus was doing this. She could not, the scripture says, she could not straighten up at all. Luke describes her as a woman who was inflicted with a spirit of infirmity. Now, we don't know what that infirmity was, but we do know that it was something that had bound her up, as the scripture tells us, for 18 years. We don't know why. We don't know why her body was so weak and frail, but there she was in the synagogue, bent over very low. So if I asked you today to stand up right now and bend over and look at the ground for the entire rest of this sermon, you'd get an idea of what it feels like to be bent over like that for 18 years. There were people standing and there were people sitting, I'm sure. What amazes me about this scripture is that in the middle of teaching, Jesus noticed her. He noticed her. He looked at her. And I'm sure that when she entered the room, she didn't think anyone cared about who she was. She was alone in the crowd, unnoticed, But the good news is that Jesus knew her. Jesus knew all about her. In fact, immediately when he saw her, he called her forward. Now, can you imagine how she felt when the teacher called her forward in a crowd? Now, one thing is we don't know how old this woman was. We may assume that she was old, but she may not have been old. It only says that she had this affliction for 18 years. So she began to inch her way forward to Jesus. And he said, "Woman, you are free from your infirmity today." He touched her and said that. Can you imagine? You're free. And when he touched her, she immediately stood up. The woman, who all she had seen for 18 years was the dirt on the ground, stood up. Now there she was, face to face. And she could see Jesus, and she could see everyone around her face to face. He loosed whatever was binding her, a spirit of infirmity, and her whole life changed. But can you imagine that the first face that she saw in an upright position was the face of God, the face of Jesus? She had felt like a nobody. She held an identity of being crippled. But now she has a new identity of being upright. And the Pharisees, I want you to know, were not happy about this whole incident in the synagogue. Healing on a Sabbath day. But Jesus told them, you should not ridicule this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound for 18 long years. Be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her. You should be congratulating her. You should be happy for her. You see, he didn't see her as a crippled woman. He saw her as a daughter of Abraham, no longer bound to her past. She was a daughter of the promise, and she was set free. So I started thinking about this some more this week. She had been bent over for 18 years, and suddenly she's standing up, and I wonder, how long did it take her to realize that she was free? I mean, when you've been bent over for 18 years, it's hard to see yourself in a new way. It's like anything else in our lives that binds us up. And even though we know that Jesus had set her free from that thing, perhaps that thing may still have her or still have us. And I wonder how long it took her to realize that she really was free. Perhaps there's someone here in this room who is bent over by a heavy load in your life. You don't even realize it's so heavy that you're a son or daughter of God, and that God has set you free with a promise. God has set you free. You're not alone. You're not an orphan in this world. God is with you, walking with you. The past is gone, and it's a new day. You can see yourself in a new way. This is what Jesus promises his disciples and us, an advocate to encourage us and to help us get through the trials of this life. The Holy Spirit draws alongside us in times of need and in times of trouble to help us. But you just don't realize sometimes that the advocate is there. That enemy, you see, wants you to lay low, to stay bent over, wants you looking down, not looking up. Still bent over with that weight that you are carrying in your life. He doesn't want you to look face to face with Jesus. The enemy, you see, doesn't want you believing that there is actually an advocate providing you with strength for the journey and rejoices in all the victories of your life. Such is the power of the Spirit in our lives. You see, God did not leave us alone, but after Jesus ascended to heaven, provided the advocate who is the Holy Spirit. Jesus called this woman a daughter of Abraham. Yes, there were some opponents in the crowd that didn't want her to be healed on that particular day, but Jesus said she has every right to be healed on this day. Sometimes you see people want to keep you bent over with their words. Even in your own mind, you'll think about your situation, but you heard somebody say something that brought you low and kept you bent over. But you have all the power and the authority to stand up straight today. Jesus has already called you forward. Jesus, our advocate, is walking alongside you and me today. So shake the dust off of us and move forward. That's what I admire about this woman. She was in the synagogue that day and didn't allow anything, even her bent over position in life, to keep her from hearing what Jesus had to say. She walked, or should I say, she probably shuffled her way in. And too often we allow the conditions in our lives to keep us from moving forward, to keep us from standing up in faith. That woman could have stayed home, but she didn't. She moved forward to hear Jesus teach. Nothing, you see, was going to stop her. She was a daughter of God, and whether she realized that or not, she still moved forward. With the advocate by our side, Jesus promises that we'll never be orphans. We are God's children. This is an image that speaks so deeply to the human condition. Whether we realize it or not, we love orphan stories. Why? Because we identify with orphans like Harry Potter and Cinderella and Luke Skywalker, stories that we see orphans that come up on top. You are no longer alone. You're not an orphan. And the Holy Spirit is your advocate and my advocate. We also have each other to be advocates in our lives, to walk alongside of us. That is what it means to be in fellowship, which is, in the Greek word, it's the word koinonia, koinonia in Christ. That is a deep and abiding relationship that each and every one of us have with each other as we walk alongside and advocate for one another. After all, who is Harry Potter without Hagrid and Ron and Hermione? Who is Luke Skywalker without Princess Leia and Han Solo? So I want to encourage you today to stir up your faith. Don't allow anything to bind you and keep you bent over. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You are free. I am free. We are free. We are bought with a great price so that we can be joint heirs with Christ and enjoy this amazing freedom. He saw his covenant with that woman, covenant of a promise that cannot be broken. You stand in a position today of promise. There is an agreement, you see, between you and the Lord that cannot be broken. Nothing can bind you except your own mind and your own thinking. But you are free, and what God has bound together cannot be broken. You have a cord of love that is wrapped around you. Jesus is the same, you see, yesterday, today, and forever. He is there for us now. He is there for us in the future generations. And when we stir up that faith, we can say with confidence, God can do it. God will do it. And we can all stand up and walk with him, and all of us say, thanks be to God. Amen.